2.5 years. Felt like forever. I've been in school forever, just to put it that way. And it's been a very blessed 2.5 years, just getting to learn what ministry and how health is incorporated into that. And especially at Loma Linda, just seeing God teaching me there was really neat. I recently graduated from nursing school in December. Praise the Lord. Yes, we'll get there, whoever's still in school. Since January, just been taking time to study for my exam and all. And, you know, when after I just graduated, I can tell you honestly that I didn't have a clue where to begin. I didn't feel like I was ready for the exam at all. And throughout this process of studying, I found some great encouragement from the Word of God. Especially in the book of Joshua, you know, of all books, I thought, like, man, if you have some big things, go there. And so that's where we'll be going today. I'm not sure where you guys are at right now in life. I'm not sure what you guys are tackling as well or going to tackle in the future. But I can tell you that God's word is always an encouragement. And I hope you will be encouraged today as we look at it. So you guys in Joshua chapter 1? We're going to be looking at verses 1. Just want to give like a quick summary. So Joshua, right, in the book of Joshua, what's happening at this moment, or just previously, they're going through this really odd experience. It's like a roller coaster almost. They are in the wilderness for how many years, you guys know?
40.
How many people here are 40 yet? No? Except for David. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They have experienced victories over like these major cities, over these kings, and they've even experienced the death of such a dear friend, and that was Moses, their leader. Just a series of up and down events, and now they're at the brink of reaching this land that God has promised, and it's a land that God said would be flowing with milk and honey, and I can imagine that they were looking forward to it. So let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. You guys there? Say amen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I think one of the verses that I really admire a lot is verse 6, 7, and even 9. Because God doesn't say things once. He says things multiple times. And when he does that, that's a very important thing. It says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And again, God says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So from here, I found great encouragement, you know, found an idea of where to get started, because a lesson is that when God calls you to go, what should you do? What? Huh? You should go. Yes, I can't hear anyone in the crowd, and you guys, I don't think you guys hear God's call to go. But when he calls you to go, go. So, beginning my process of studying for my boards, it's an exam called the NCLEX that you have to take to be registered as a nurse. I was in a bit of shock and slight fear because, you know, it's just right after the holidays. And have you guys ever had that type of experience where, like, you just, you know, you don't know what to do next? No? Yes? Right? And while my other friends were already studying, I felt like I was majorly being lagging, you know, behind. I was reviewing a little bit, but when I talked with them, they said, like, have you started studying yet? And I'm like, studying? You're studying already? I'm like, what? And just to give you an idea of like just how overwhelming it is, I started using this program. I started going to with a bunch of like questions in it to start practicing. I went to the library daily, and I spent hours and hours inside the library. And yet, when I came out at the end of the day, where like you know you go in, no sunlight, you come out, no sunlight. I felt like it was only like a couple of hours, and I didn't get too much in. I'm like, wow, how am I going to do this? But despite how overwhelming it felt, I pressed forward just because I knew where God was calling me to go. Let's take a look at verse 8. Can someone read that out loud for me? Amen. You guys hear that last part? When you need success and prospering, you know, what's key is that God's promises are what gives you success. And you might ask how and why. And you know, the answer is that God's promises never fail. Our words fail, but God's promises never fail. And I felt like while studying, failure was on the horizon. You know, just simply because I'm not the smartest guy. Some people think at school I'm like smart, but I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, nearly average, maybe a little bit above average, but I can't give myself that much credit. And no matter where I thought I was, God had other plans. And when it seems like things are not going your way in your life, and you feel like you don't have that direction, God still knows the way of success, and he wants to point you in that direction. And I think what's cool is that, like, in spite of our failures, I've learned that they are God's building blocks to success. It's a very, very small, simple thought, but I thought that was revelatory for me. So while I was going through my practice questions and my test bank, what percent do you guys think I was at? Throw out some numbers. 60, 50, 45? Wow, okay. Anyone else? No? 65? I was actually at 42% when I first started the program. I'm like, oh, wow. In school, in one of my last courses I was taking, it was very discouraging. I mean, I passed nursing school, praise God, but the last predictor test that I took put me at around there, 42%. So when I started this question bank, it was just the same. And I was very discouraged. I was like, Lord, this is impossible. How am I even going to get past something as practice questions? Like, how am I going to take the test when I can't even do the practice questions? And the temptation came, you know, that I needed to study more, that I needed to spend more time doing questions, doing questions no matter what. And the temptation came to take time away from God, take time away from even sleep, just to do more questions. And at these moments, you know, I realized that God deserves your time. How many here do devotionals in the morning? Praise God. I want to just tell you guys to never let those moments go. And for those who are, you know, in the process of making that a habit too, you don't know the difference unless you try it, you know. I'm extremely thankful. Let me give you two business proposals. One proposal where you're going to do these investments and it's going to have compound interest. You guys know what compound interest is? You know, interest that builds on top of the other. So number one, choice A. Raise your hand for these choices. Would you invest in worry, stress, and fear? It compounds on itself. Anyone want to raise their hand? No. The second proposal is spending time with God. It's going to compound on top of each other. How many people want to raise their hand? A couple of takers? Praise the Lord. I think what's so strange is that it's easy to say, but it's really hard to do. Can you guys resonate with that? Right? I was extremely stressed during these times of studies because my future wasn't very bright, kind of bleak. But in spite of that, I discovered that time with God was a non-negotiable. Ultimately, I found more peace when I spent time with God. You know, something really cool about spending time in God's Word is that when you don't want to do something, you can spend more time in God's Word. So I kind of lingered more in spending time with God in the morning before I started my studies. I'm like, oh man, maybe I should just hang out here for a little longer. But when overall, when you faithfully give God your time, you won't be surprised that He will bless you with peace that passes understanding. So I just wanted to encourage you guys to spend more time with God if you're not doing that, or if you want to spend more time with God. All right, let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Joshua. Amen. He's already there. So what happens in chapter 2 is the children of Israel, they send out some spies to go look out at the land. You know, this is across the Jordan. And they spy out the land. And what's really great is that they say the land looks great when they come back to report. What's even more of an awesome confidence builder is that the people have only heard about the children of Israel, and their hearts are already melting. So Joshua calls the people to go and prepare to cross the Jordan. Get your things ready, and we're going to journey over. And then God also calls them to have the priests go first with the ark when they enter into the Jordan. And so that's where we'll pick up. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Can someone read that for me? I wanted to read that last part again in verse 15. It says, "For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest." Have you guys ever seen a river before? Yes? Oftentimes rivers are, when they flow, they're kept inside, you know, that little flow of, or path where it has flowed. But can you imagine, even yesterday, it seemed like rivers were everywhere outside on the streets. Like, the water just overflowing. You know, that's how I felt with my studies and this upcoming exam. I felt like it's just overwhelming fear. Like, it feels like I'm underwater. And like I told you before, with my percentage so far in school of telling me what's the percent I'll pass the test was not great. Starting this practice question test bank. It was out of 2,000 questions. I was like, wow, how am I going to get through it? And how am I going to get through it with trying to relearn everything, re-understand everything, and at a 42%? You know, putting those thoughts aside of getting swept away by overwhelming fear, I just simply ask God to help me take one step at a time. And when reading this verse, what did God call the priest to do? Yeah, God doesn't tell you to do a belly flop into the river, but He simply tells you to take those steps to the riverbank and to get your feet wet. I know it's scary to get your feet wet, but I think cool analogy is when you go surfing, you just have to dip your feet in the water a little bit to feel the coldness, and then you'll be confident to get in. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. Can someone read that for me? Thank you. So we just backtracked a little bit with the verses. Even before the children of Israel cross over the Jordan, this seemingly overflowing embankment, God says something amazing. What does he say? He's going to give you success, but over what? Over the armies on which side of the Jordan? The other side. Isn't that crazy? God promises to lead them through the Jordan, right? But even before they cross the Jordan, he's like, I'm going to give you this kingdom, this nation, and I'm going to help you conquer these countries even before you cross the Jordan. I think it's super neat because then imagine you're trying to focus on this really big thing that you're facing right now, and God says, I'm going to give you victory over this. I'm going to prepare provisions so that you can have victory over something that you haven't even faced yet. Isn't that super neat how God says that and just the timing? And I think if you need encouragement, God is someone who can take you to the top when it comes to finding that. So I think that's something that I really need to know during this time of study. I don't know. Can you get the next slide, please? During my time of study, it was very stressful in the first place with all the things that I had to like look at in terms of like studying, staring at a screen like 5 to 6 hours a day. And you know, on top of that, have you guys heard of Murphy's Law before?
Yeah?
You want to tell me what it is? Yeah, anything that will go wrong, will go wrong. And all happens at one time. And I think during the season of studying, I felt like Murphy's Law was set to the max. I was facing some really sad and pressing news when my dog actually passed away. It's the one on the far right in the back, the one with the silly smile. His name is Fat Boy, and some of you guys know that he had a heart condition and he passed away in January. And I think it was one of the most devastating things because I felt like he was like a brother to me, you know? Like when you leave the house, he'd stare at you and just let you know that he's there for you. But amidst my dog passing away, a really tragic situation, I was facing family stressors too, you know, like family issues. A lot of things were draining at the moment. And it felt like, you know, when you stare at that river, as the children of Israel did, they kind of asked themselves too, like, how will we cross something like this? It's not even just a regular river, but it's an overflowing river. But, you know, God has the answer. Can we look at verse 16 and 17? Can someone read that for me?
That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Araba, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over Jordan.
What? That is amazing. Is it not? Can you guys visualize that inside your minds? The river just stopping at the top and then all of a sudden you see dry ground. I think we're so prone to seeing dry ground because we're here in California. So maybe it's a normal thing for you guys. But I think that's pretty amazing. Man, all the people cross over. God made provisions for all the people to cross over, and it was a huge miracle for them. I think at this point, I felt like God was blessing me with a miracle moment too after studying questions for a good couple weeks. I was at least at the 50% mark. Praise the Lord! You know, 50% is passing, and I was pretty happy with that. After the children of Israel cross over the Jordan, God tells them to do something very specific. And we're going to take a look at that in chapter 4. He calls one person from each tribe of the children of Israel. There's 12 tribes. He calls them to go into the Jordan as the priests are still standing there with the ark, because they're the ones who went first. Go in the middle of the river and pick up rocks while the river is still dry. And God calls them to take these rocks and to set them up, take them over to Jordan, and then set them up as a sign. And we're going to take a look at what that sign means in verse 6 and 7 in chapter 4. Can someone read that for me? Thank you. So these stones were—they're called memorial stones. They're called God called them to take these stones and to set them up as a sign, just so that in future generations they will not forget what God has just done. It's hard to forget when things happen, you know, when God blesses you tremendously. But I don't know about you guys. When I go into one room to another, I forget that I was looking for my keys or I went there to get a shirt. You know, we're super forgetful beings, and I think God understands that. And when you're struggling, God wants to remind you to look back at how He's delivered you and how He's blessed you, because then that's what He really wants to do in your present and in your future. So when I look back at my school experiences, I saw how God taught me so many things. You know, even in the midst of like, wow, I'm not understanding this, I'm not getting this question right, I just realized, wow, God taught me about acid-base balance inside your body. He's taught me about how you understand how pregnant a woman is, or how to do wound care, how to count the months of when you're going to give birth. Jennifer, right there. And, you know, from things like cancer treatment, I think it's so cool, all these things that God has taught me. And it just made me realize that God's prepared me for the things to come. And even in spite of the things I knew that I was still having to learn, I saw a great joy in that. Because when you find the positive things in what you're doing, it always makes it easier. So I thought the questions I was taking, they're really cool facts. I'm like, cool. You know, even if I don't pass this test, I came to this to accept this idea that even if I don't pass this test, at least I'm blessed with learning new things and learning new facts. I usually tell Christy about what I study, and half the times they're just like random facts, like some of the nerdiest things ever. Did you guys know that in 8 ounces there's 240 milliliters? You need to know that for medication administration. But the other half of the time, the facts that I learned have to deal with diagnosing other people. So, like, sometimes when we're in line and she's really hungry, I'll tell her, like, you're experiencing symptoms of hypoglycemia. If you're having tremors, you'll feel nauseous, you'll have low blood sugar and slight dizziness. And, you know, I just, she would humor me, and I just feel really blessed that at least I was learning things, you know. Overall, when coming to accept the idea that, you know, even if I don't pass, I can try again, I found it such a great blessing, because then God taught me that when you know the direction you're heading, that's simply all you need to know. Okay, let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Something I want to share with you that's super cool, and as if this book wasn't already cool enough, was Joshua's meeting with the commander. I found this portion of scripture to be such a confidence builder for me while I was studying. Let's look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, and can someone read that for me?
As commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. And Joshua fell on his face servant. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so.
I think something so neat here is that after this experience of crossing the Jordan, Joshua himself has a meeting with this commander of the army of God. And this commander, when we read in Scripture, we recognize that this is Jesus himself, just because it was very similar to when Moses came to the burning bush and God called him to take off his sandals. You know, there are multiple times I wanted to change the date for my exam, like even after like realizing that I got a decent score on my practice questions. I wanted to postpone, I wanted to move it sooner, I wanted to move it later, and you just go back to this the seesaw type of experience. But each time I wanted to do so, you know, I'm so thankful my dear over there reminded me to pray. Christy reminded me to pray. And when I would want to change the date, even right there and right then, we would pray that God would lead us to the right date of when I should take this exam. And why I mention prayer is because prayer is like conversing with God. I want to ask you, how often are you meeting with your commander to get your marching orders? How often are you talking with God? I just want to squeeze in this small plug, because prayer gives you such peace. Who can agree here that prayer gives you such peace? I just want to squeeze in this small plug. How many here has 10 minutes every single day, at least 10 minutes, to do nothing? Yes? I have more than 10 minutes, but... There's a 10-minute prayer meeting going on every single evening at 9, and I'm so thankful to be joining it, because even now, I still continue to find so much peace with different problems in my life. But 10 minutes, guys, can you imagine? Just 10 minutes. You just come on, you pray, maybe one or two or three or four prayers, and then God wants to bless you from just taking that small time to pray. So please come on. If you want more information, please contact Christy or myself. In the midst of studying, I felt like I didn't have time. Like Christy mentioned in Sabbath school today, when you're studying for a test or you're like studying for something in school or studying for something for your job tomorrow, every single minute counts, every day counts. But you know what? Even though I felt like I didn't have time, I've made time to come to prayer. And I definitely don't regret it, because it's blessed me tremendously that I found peace no other way. Have you guys ever stared at a screen for more than 2 hours before? No, just knows. You just can't stare at anything else right after. I experienced eye twitching when I started studying for my exam, so I want to say that I'm a little allergic to studying. But it's because, you know, we stare at a screen so often. We do it with our phones, we do it with other things. And after that, you know, we try to find spending time with God by staring at our phones to read the Bible, and it's really hard. But what I found to be the perfect remedy for my time of studying, and from those symptoms of eye hurting, was to pray, to take nature walks, and just spend time with God, because it was really refreshing to the mind. So overall, my main point for this is that we need to pray. We need to pray more, because God wants to bless you more. And the neat thing is that you take a little bit more focus off of yourself and you put it onto God and others. All right, let's turn to chapter 6 of Jericho. We're wrapping up real soon because we're heading towards my exam. Jericho chapter 6. For me, I felt like my Jericho experience was facing this exam. And let's see what the children of Israel begin to see and what God calls them to do in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Can someone read that for me? Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor."
Thank you, Kang. The people of Jericho knew that the children of Israel were coming. They knew that this really fierce type of enemy is coming because God was with them. And nothing came in, nothing came out, and for good reason. So, you know, I found that fact. I was like, wow, man, if nothing came in, nothing came out, how big were these, how big was this fortress? What was going on? And so I did some research, and I found that some facts about the wall of Jericho, as you guys know. It was so wide that you can build a house on top of it. Thanks for pulling that up. And I thought it was just one wall, but who would do that? Why not have two walls? So I just want to give you some facts. It's really cool for those who are interested in like architecture and stuff. The wall inside near the city was actually 20 feet high. So it actually composed of two things. First, there was like a layer of stone as the base, and that would range from 12 to 15 feet high. And then on top of that stone, they would put mud brick wall that was 6 feet wide and then 20 feet tall on top of that 12 feet. And then they would have another wall on the outside that's about 46 feet high. And it's insane because then not only are these walls so high, but in between, they're an acre of land. So, you know, if someone tries to sneak in the first one, you can get them in the open field in the second one. And then in between those acres of land ranged about 6 to 9 acres. And so can you imagine hopping over this humongous wall and then making a dash to the second wall that you had to jump over? You can be easily taken down with the guards at the wall. Can someone read verse 3 to 5 for me? Joshua 6, 3 to 5.
You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns for the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people will shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before it.
Thank you. So this is what the children of Israel were facing. But you know what? Were they facing this giant structure alone, this giant nation? No, right? They were with God. I find it quite interesting that the first thing after they cross the Jordan River, the first thing that they face is one of the biggest nations that they could face, like one of the bigger obstacles. And God led them to that. He didn't want to just take them to a small little nation and then conquer that one so that they can build their confidence. But God took them to the biggest one. In spite of that, there's more. There's more about the city. I found out that archaeologists say that the citizens of Jericho were well prepared for a siege or for war. Because then, you guys know what was happening at the Jordan River? What was happening? You guys remember? Yeah, it was flooding. It was overflowing with water. Since there is flooding and so much water, it was the harvest time. So they had enough food to wait it out for actually years. What was neat is that they had so much food and water that they didn't have to go outside to get anything, and they were secure there. So the children of Israel faced such big things. Can you guys hold your finger in the book of Joshua and flip to the book of Jeremiah? This is a really cool promise. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3, really easy numbers to remember. And then can someone read that for me? Thank you. God here wanted to show the children of Israel that there is nothing that God can't do that is great for you. The city was big. The walls were really big. But as the children of Israel were marching around the city, God wanted them to not just admire the sight and to tremble in fear, but he wanted to remind them that that city is big, but I'm bigger. And that God is bigger. When we see our problems as bigger than God, we definitely have a real problem. I think we can definitely learn that from this Jericho experience that the children of Israel were going through. So back to what was going on with me. This exam, just coming up to it, it felt really huge. It felt really big. It felt unpassable even. And I kind of knew in the back of my mind that I might not pass this first time and I might have to do this a couple of times. I read online that when people took this exam, not sure if it was going to be me, but they took it up to 6 times and they're still going for their 7th. I'm like, maybe you should think of something else to do. And I just hope, like, maybe I wouldn't have to follow in their footsteps to take it that many times. But, you know, I find quite reassurance in God's word. Can someone read verse 2 one more time for me? Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. Amen. God is such a great reminder. And he tells us that, he tells us before we face things that we can do it with him. So on my exam day, I woke up and I just wanted to squeeze in a little bit more studying. Ate lunch, studied while I ate, and then I went to the test. And when I got there, it was so strange because my studying habits weren't extremely professional. But when I got there, it felt like a very professional environment. So it's kind of out of my comfort zone, and I didn't really know what to expect. But what I did know that God was in control in spite of the outcome. And I think it's throughout my experience, I needed to recite that over and over and over just to remind myself. So I finished the exam, and I had to wait 2 very long days. And in the meantime, I think God was blessing me nonetheless, even if I didn't pass, because I got to tell people about my experience, not about the exam specifically, but about my experience that God was in control. Every time a friend asked at school, because I had to be over there for a meeting, I would tell them, I don't know how I did, but God's in control, and he blessed us nonetheless. So, you guys want to know the verdict of my exam? When you take the exam, you can stop at 75, which is the minimum where the computer stops, and it kind of declares if you're able to pass or not, or it can stop at 265. And I was hoping to just meet somewhere in the middle, but when it stopped at the minimum, I was like, oh no, Lord, what did I do wrong? And I'm not totally sure how it even ended there, but I can tell you that God was 100% in control. And I don't say this to give any glory to myself, but God is good. And when you serve him, he'll bless you with excellence. So I passed my test. Thank the Lord. Yay. Any way I can service you guys, let me know as a registered nurse. Because I'm so thankful. I still wake up every single day, even though I don't have a job yet. And I'm so thankful that God has taken away just the stresses of school and that he was leading through that experience. And so let's read in verse 20. Can someone read that for me? Chapter 6, verse 20, as we're closing. Chapter 6, verse 20. Anyone? Thank you. Man, this wall that you guys saw before, it fell. Not just one, but two. Somehow, some way, God made that possible for the children of Israel just to enter and storm in and to take that land that God has promised. And this test, you know, even in spite of the results, I want to thank God that it was a bigger blessing and even grander experience to go through the process of it. I don't know if that makes sense, but before I even passed, I think that was the greater blessing because God was able to grow my faith and to grow my experience, my character with Him too. And you guys have problems, yes?
Yes.
Yes, amen. And do you know that with every problem that you guys have, it's an opportunity to praise God? It's your chance to witness. It's my chance to witness to others that God is so good. And I'm not sure what your Jordan experience is like today. I'm not sure what kind of fortified wall Jericho is going through as well or going to go through. But one thing I'm sure is that if you hold God's hand, you simply hold Him at His word, He will bless. So I just wanted to close by making a short appeal. If you guys just close your eyes and bow your heads. I wanted to make this appeal for some of us. We're facing those walls right now as I even speak. And maybe you're crossing over to a new territory. You don't even know that you have how to get across. And you feel extremely uncertain. Hey, my journey of conquering the land of Canaan is still going. I'm still looking for a job, and I'm still trying to trust God. But whatever it is, I want to appeal to you, make two appeals. One, if it's your desire to trust in God and to grow a deeper relationship with Him by committing more time to studying His Word, more time in spending with Him, please raise your hand. Amen. And you know, the second appeal is that actions leads to habits. And if you are in a struggle right now in taking down the walls in your life and asking God to help you, I want you to commit to praying every day for victory on top of that. God loves persistent prayer. And on top of that too, while praying for yourselves, pray for someone else who's going through a struggle. And if you want to commit to that, please raise your hand. Amen. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, prayer is so powerful, and I've learned that throughout this past experience. And Father, I'm so thankful to share my testimony. Lord, as average as a mouthpiece I am, I pray that your people can find a word of encouragement inside your word and not mine. And we just want to pray for those who are going through things that you would provide them the way, that you'd increase their faith, Father. And on top of all of this, Father, may our relationship with you grow deeper. Thank you so much for the privilege to share, the privilege to have a testimony for each one of us. And we ask that you open up divine appointments and opportunities this week for us to bless you by praising your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Let's all stand for the last song, God is Our Refuge. He indeed is our refuge.
God is our refuge, God is our strength, God is a very present help in trouble. Spears were of a glad. Make glad the city of our God. God is in the midst, in the midst of her. He shall help her, she shall not be moved. Her Lord of hosts refuge. Come behold the words of the Lord. Come behold the words of the Lord.
Is now
that God is God. He will be exalted in the earth. Be still and note that He is God. He will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Let's all bow in prayer.
Dear God, thank you for using Hung as a vehicle to just remind us, Lord, his wonderful testimony that many times we have little faith, Lord, that we believe in ourselves and in return of failing. But help us to grow in our relationship with you, Lord. Now we can trust you more. And as the last song's title, you are indeed our refuge, Lord, that whenever there's times of trouble, we can always reach to you. Bless the rest of the Sabbath. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a reminder, we do have the convalescent home singing today. We'll be practicing at 2:30. We hope that you can join us in blessing the elderly folk today. Thank